Welcome back, everybody. This is Sight to the Blind. First and foremost, I want to thank all of my listeners, those who prayed for me, those who sent me beautiful words in the comment section of my last episode. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Because of you, I would not be needing 2 weeks. I just need 1 week to sort some things out because the work is still on my behalf to get some things done. And another brother said, you'll be all right, you're just under attack, which is true too. I seem to be under attack anytime I step on toes of whatever the spell is trying to be put forward on the minds of believers. And I'll get to that later. But I understand when I'm under attack. I do. Anytime a spell that they want imprinted in the hearts and minds and souls of so-called believers, anytime I speak out against it or say something about it, that's when sure enough it comes. And sometimes it's draining that I need to step away for a little bit just to get my feet back under me. Like Yahushua said, we walk without fainting, or we faint not. So I'll be back. Not this coming Sunday, but the next Sunday. And I'll pre-record some things, especially for the Wednesday episodes. I'll pre-record some things for you so you really won't even notice I was gone or stepped away unless I told you. But let's start off with Donald Trump. Now, I don't know what people think is going to happen if he releases this JFK file. If I were you, I would not rest or put my eggs in a basket of any information that the government is going to give you and then how they promote it as if they're going to blow off some Rosetta Stone of knowledge and understanding for you to be like, ah, this is why they did it. They're never going to do that. They're just going to keep giving you the runaround. A beautiful documentary called Everything is a Rich Man's Trick. It's on YouTube. Watch that. That's going to lead you closer to any explanation of JFK than anything else. It even talks about the false flags or the false flag witnesses and crisis actors that they put in front of the people in the 60s and 70s to make them swallow this whole magic bullet theory. That these people seen one lone gunman shoot JFK. I would know when it's really for real is if they mention, I love telling the story when JFK comes up. I know when they're really serious about JFK or unleashing these files is when they bring in the Hunt family. The Hunt family owns the Kansas City Chiefs and a couple of, I think, another soccer team or something in, I think, Ohio, they got a soccer team. They're big in Texas. The day before JFK was assassinated, Lamar Hunt, the one who's the AFC championship trophy is named after, him and his brother, they created some leaflets or pamphlets. I think it was calling JFK a communist or something like that. It's like, you know, anti JFK information, pamphlets and leaflets that they just gave out around town in Dallas. The meeting that they had with LBJ and the secret meeting they had was in the offices of H.L. Hunt, Harold Lafayette Hunt, which is Lamar Hunt's father, which is the grandfather of Clark Hunt, who owns the Kansas City Chiefs now. So the reason why they wanted JFK killed because the oil tycoons, specifically H.L. Hunt, they were going to get something investigated or they would cut their funds off or something was going to happen that an investigation, you know, started by JFK that his brother was going to look into had something to do with whatever they were doing in Dallas. And it was going to affect their pockets. So that's why H.L. Hunt stepped in. So they're not going to come out with this information. If they do, then I know it's real. When they don't, then they ain't going to give you nothing. Because H.L. Hunt goes further than just JFK. He has his hands in the MLK assassination, and he has his hands in the Nation of Islam. Back then, the Democrats were the racists. Well, they still are. The Dixiecrats. What H.L. Hunt wanted, he didn't want blacks to be in the political arena. So that's why he funded Nation of Islam. Because Malcolm X and Nation of Islam spoke against separating themselves from white America. So H.L. Hunt gave Elijah Muhammad, money. And Elijah Muhammad was pocketing that money in different accounts overseas. Malcolm X found out about those accounts. And that's why Malcolm X was assassinated. Because they were messing with the money. He even says in one of his speeches, or whoever he was talking to in press, he said, yeah, I know there's a guy, there's a guy down in Dallas, Texas, big money, that he's given Elijah Muhammad money, and Elijah Muhammad is hiding this money on overseas account. And he said he's seen these accounts and these records. Once he mentioned who this guy was, it was over for Malcolm X. They'll tell you, like, oh, the cops and the FBI and the black people that turned on them. Yeah, that too, but it came from a source. They just don't kill somebody just because they got a difference of opinion. It's when they start looking in that money or they're touching that money, that is when he had to go. I think H.L. Hunt also had something to do with, I can't think of the top of my head, there was a racist KKK organizations. I forgot what they were called, but supposedly they had some connections with MLK's assassination of the person that supposedly shot MLK. I forgot what club. It was a something club. But H.L. Hunt is in the middle of that. So three assassinations, one man, Dallas, Texas, and their bloodline owns the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm telling you, if they're not giving this information up, it's no point. And then Lamar Hunt, the day after the assassination, or day of, Lamar Hunt and them, they headed out of town. He went to Mexico, which his family, I just found that out when I was playing there, that their family owns a resort, and I think it's in Cabo, Mexico, that his family owns a resort. And that's where, I don't know if that he had the resort at the time, but I know that's where Lamar, I think H.L. Hunt or Lamar Hunt, one of them, hightailed it out of Dallas and it laid low or was in hiding in Mexico until it all blew over. But they were scared and embarrassed after those leaflets because they thought they were going to be questioned, and they were never questioned. They didn't even bring them in. So with that being said, just look into Everything is a Rich Man's Trick. It's a great documentary on how everything from World War II all the way up to the JFK assassination. It's a good documentary. I think everybody should watch it, really, just to see how these people work. Once you understand how these people are bound to their little symbolism, their little doctrines and their little oaths, and it's all tied together with some weird homosexuality ritual, you'll start laughing. And you start realizing who the Most High's elect is and who isn't. You could just tell by the way these people move. But the topic of this episode, and it was the reason why I was attacked, is when I speak on Church 2819. And I know when I've been attacked because I got hit in the comments section of the last episode. I don't even know if this is a real person or a bot, but I know bots and other agitators or agitators are listening to my show just to hear what I say so they can flood the episode or the comment section with foolishness. What, I don't know who this was. This one dude goes, that 2819 pastor calling out the Christian pastors not preaching the word, ain't that your beef? So he is saying something, bro. That's how he wrote it. This generation is, I don't know if his generation is slow, retarded, or just dyslexic. I'll read it again. That 2819 pastor calling out the Christian pastors not preaching the word, ain't that your beef? That don't even make sense. So he is saying something, bro. Saying what? Because he called out T.D. Jakes? Everybody was calling out T.D. Jakes at the time of that whole Sean Combs thing. Because he called out Pastor William Murphy. Other people were calling out Pastor William Murphy when he turned New Year's or turned his church into a nightclub and it was swag surfing. And then William Murphy happens to join Omega Psi Phi this past week. But I've seen other pictures of him online. They have his hands being in the pyramid. So he was either a prince or a Freemason and then went into Omega Psi Phi, which doesn't make sense to me because I don't know why prince or Freemasons just don't come out and say they're prince or Freemasons. I don't know why they have to hide within Omega Psi Phi. But I kind of understand it because anybody can join Omega Psi Phi. Even white dudes or white folks can join Omega Psi Phi. I've seen it happen. But when it comes to Prince or Freemasonry, it ain't just like you walk into a lodge and be like, I want to be one. Usually you have to, for that type of service, you have to be referral to, or it's in your bloodline. So whatever, for whatever reason, I don't know why they just didn't say, hey, I'm a Prince or Freemason and all that. I don't know why they do that. But I think just for the show and because they want Negroes to accept Greek or Boule within the Christian church or the Christian religion to make it normalized. So you feel like these dudes got power because they're joining black organizations and being charitable and whatever for the community and for the culture. And we accepted that. We accept Greek mythology and idolatry as our culture now. So I'm not getting after this brother because he's saying something, because he's not saying nothing. Not one word. But I'm gonna back it up this episode with what he does say, so you can make your own decision.
I want to take a few moments to just talk to you about the significance of what we are celebrating during this holiday season. First off, I don't want to be ignorant to the fact that there are a lot of people right now in our culture, all across our society, who feel adversely against this holiday season. There's questions flying all around social media as to whether or not Christians should celebrate Christmas. Should we have Christmas trees in our homes and all these things? And I think that this is a valid question that I want to address. Should Christians celebrate? Should we have Christmas trees in our homes? There are shouts of this holiday weekend being pagan and all these things. I want to acknowledge the truth of the matter, right? We honestly do not know when the Lord Jesus Christ was born. We do not really know the day or the month, and all of it is speculation, okay? And so we can't make a hard line, say, oh, he was born on December 25th. The truth is, we really don't know. We have no idea. But all of us who are watching right now, there is a time on the calendar year when you pause to celebrate your birthday. You know, loved ones may come around you and have a party. People will send you text messages. People may cash app you. But there is a day on the calendar in which we pause to celebrate your birthday and we pause to celebrate mine. And even if we do not know for a fact when the Lord Jesus Christ was born, I still think that it is the goodness of God that he moved on the heart of humanity to still set aside a calendar day in which we pause to celebrate the birth or the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ. So
that is literally the most dumbest, stupidest explanation of anything I have ever heard. So birthdays comes from Greece, Rome, Egypt. They're pagan. Christmas is pagan. But he's trying to justify it, saying that he observed his pagan Gregorian birth, just like everybody else observes their pagan Gregorian birth. So God willed it for man to set aside a fake day that's happened to be on the same day as other pagan sun gods to observe the Gregorian birthday of Lord, aka Baal, Greek, Jesus Christ. And this is what people go to church for. When he's talking about or cried or whined about not having money and his church is going to be shut down, this is what people were feeding into. So yeah, I'm going to step on toes today. Philip Anthony Mitchell, I'm just going to call him Pam. P-A-M, Philip Anthony Mitchell. Calling him Pam. Pam says that even though he don't know the birth of Yahusha, and it doesn't say anywhere in scripture to observe the birth of Yahusha, he who went to a four-year Christian college where he had to be taught and learn scripture from a Masonic institution set up by a Freemason literally within the last two decades, that somewhere he jumped over Jeremiah 10, verses 1 through 5, and said that we should still observe the Lord Jesus Christ's birthday. And this is where Negroes fall into the ignorance or the trap of Christianity. As long as it sounds good and as long as the world allows it, they will mingle scripture that sounds worldly into those people's ears to make it sound that is normalized for us to observe holidays, pagan holidays that were forced upon us during slavery. It is 2025. People are still using Lord Jesus Christ. It's 2025 and people are still Christians. Not really progressing forward. All they know is the New Testament. Know anything else. Because also they are told or taught to keep their 501c3 institutions. In order to keep funneling money to themselves, they have to stay popular. This is one of the reasons why Stephen Darby's church kind of suffered, because he was speaking truth. His only fault, which I think he got judged for, is he tried to mingle Israelites with Christianity. Him and three other Christian brothers or Christian pastors tried to do a tour in Africa, of all places, a tour in Africa mingling Israelite heritage with Christianity. You think the Most High is going to sit by and let that happen? You think he's going to allow Christians, especially a really good Christian pastor like Stephen Darby, go into Africa to again, further colonization of his people? His family is like, oh, they took him out because he was speaking too much. No, because when he started, he was on a roll. And then after a while, when he wouldn't get money, he wasn't getting donations, he came out with that Galatians, if you sow the seed for the money, you will reap the sow that you will reap the money that you sow. He started putting that in front of his sermons online. Then when he died, it was like, oh, he was targeted. No. Let's be for real. The Most High is not going to allow anybody to start to be a leader and go against the truth after he had already been shown the truth or known the truth. Doesn't it say in Ezekiel somewhere that if any man who found righteousness turns back, it would be better for him that he had never found righteousness? Usually he was supposed to be on his way out of Christianity. Say, okay, come with me. I'm leaving this religion. Come with me. But when you rely on money, and that's what the Christian religion or the Christian pastors rely on, they rely on money. They rely on their 501c3 nonprofit. If you are not speaking a worldly doctrine, you're not getting money. It's just the way it goes. So Pam doesn't want his followers to go somewhere else. So this is what he does at church.
Do we celebrate Christmas or not celebrate Christmas? Watch, non-essential. If you're in the non-celebrate camp because you think it's pagan, then you don't celebrate.
But please don't slander, which is a sin, the brothers and sisters who choose to celebrate.
Don't slander. Don't slander the brothers and sisters. Matter of fact, don't reprove or reproach brothers and sisters who should not be following the pagan idolatry of Rome, a.k.a. Idumea, a.k.a. Edom, a.k.a. Esau, a.k.a. the whole book of Obadiah and Malachi. The Most High has said he has hate for. He don't even say he hate Hasatan or Satan or Samael, but he for sure say he hates Esau. Don't reprove and reproach our brothers and sisters. Nah, don't do that. Let people observe their own thing. Let people do their own thing. And he's a leader of a church. That's the embarrassing part. He is a leader of a church. Ezekiel 33. Again, the word of Yahuwah came unto me, saying, Son of Adam, speak to the children of your people and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon a land, when I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast and set him for their watchman, if when he sees the sword come upon the land, he blow the shofar and warn the people, then whosoever hears the sound of shofar and takes not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the shofar and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him. But he that takes warning shall deliver his soul. Is he giving anybody fair warning? No, he's telling people, do not reproach those who want to be pagan. Do not reproach those who are already in sin. And matter of fact, he says, don't do it because you'll be in sin for trying to tell your brother or your sister that you should not observe Christmas. But if the watchmen see the sword come and blow not the shofar, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity. But his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So you, O son of Adam, I have set you a watchman unto the house of Yasharel. Therefore you shall hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, you shall surely die if you do not speak to warn the wicked from his way. That wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at your hand. And the Most High said, if the sword come upon the land or upon a land, that means that sword can come from anywhere. And you know it's true he's talking about this time, because if you go to fourth Ezra, chapter 15, 5 and 6 out of the Sefer, it says, behold, says Yahuwah, I will bring plagues upon the world, the sword, famine, death, and destruction. For wickedness has exceedingly polluted the whole earth, and their hurtful works are fulfilled. So the Most High is not up there just, this is all just sin, I'm going to wipe it away. No, he says these hurtful works are fulfilled. The pagan idolatry that his people, that he sent his people into slavery and judgment for, that he continues have to, regardless of the watchmen that are set up all over this country, they continue to try to fight against the Most High's word because they don't want to lose their money. These so-called watchmen of the Negro community, these so-called watchmen in your churches, regardless of what heritage or lineage or ethnicity you are, their responsibility is to tell you what's right for your own soul. If they're not doing that, I don't know why you go to their churches or listen to their pastors. And they act like these people are in communication with the Most High. They don't even know his name. Like I said, it's 2025. At least people are trying to say Yeshua or Yahweh or Yahuwah. At least people are trying. And obviously the names are going to, you know, move them into the true name. But when we started out, most of us didn't say Yahuwah. We thought Yahweh. But we started learning and progressing. And that's what helps you change. But the Christian community ain't even changing nothing. They still go in there singing, Lord Jesus Christ. Even when their songs and their hymns got hallelujah in it, they still don't catch on. So how can these people be connected with the Ruach HaKodesh? When the Ruach HaKodesh in scripture is not even tied to a religion. Listen to this too.
I might invest. I might invest 30 hours a week in study and preparing my messages. And a year and a half ago, God forbid me to come into the pulpit with outlines. So I gotta depend on my memory. And I gotta pray those outlines into my heart. And when I get up here, I don't have anything but my Bible and the Holy Spirit. I have no safety net. And it takes all of my mind and all of my heart to preach those outlines and to preach those messages. And if my mind is not right, I can't do it. And this morning, my mind is not right. And I'm sorry, I cannot preach to you this morning because I would do the Word of God a disservice if I preached to you this morning. I can't open this Word in good faith and expect an anointing from the Holy Spirit if I'm not honest, if I'm not forthright, if I have any pretense in my heart, and I don't want to get up here and just give you garbage because I love you too much for that.
And that's exactly what he'd been giving his congregation, garbage. People love this guy because he's so emotional. So it attacks the most vulnerable demographic, the Negro woman or the female. He gets up there, puts on a great show. A lot of emotionalism. A lot of some raising of the voice. Very animated. Very charismatic. But in the end of the day, it's garbage. He may hit a couple of good one-liners here and there. But when it comes to the Word, when it comes to Scripture, he is perverting the gospel and turning it into garbage so he can keep money in his pockets. That little speech of him whining and crying, talking about he spends 30 hours a week, 30 hours a week, and you still haven't come across scripture that told you we should not observe pagan holidays. 30 hours a week, and he can only stay within the New Testament. At this point, he should already have the New Testament memorized. Because that's all he's preaching from. They give one or two good little verses. They have a choir come in, sing for like 45 minutes, and that's the whole church service. Their whole emphasis on being pre-rapture ready. And then if they're not talking about the rapture, they're talking about the wickedness of this world. And this is what they do. They try to compare themselves or compare their righteousness with the rest of the world and think, oh, because we're not like Hollywood. We're not like Satan's puppets. That we're good. Pastors really should speak on the parables of Luke 18, 9 through 13. And he spoke this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, Elohim, I thank you that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the Shabbat. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, Elohim, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalts himself shall be abased, and he that humbles himself shall be exalted. And that's all the show they put on in these churches that some of you still go to. They may not say that they're self-righteous or that they're righteous, but they like to compare themselves or compare what they're doing or what they're saying to everybody else and what they're doing. For example,
they could fool them. They're going to fool me. All your little prophets that you be running around the nation chasing, sitting in big rooms, always talking about God. You never hear them exalt the Son. But Jesus said, no one can know God except I reveal it to that person. There is no God apart from Christ. So y'all be watching people that be talking about, oh, I serve God. I want to thank my Lord. And say, like all this God talk, but Christ is nowhere in the conversation. You don't know God. You know a false God. He said, but they got a big platform. False God. Oh, but they talk with wisdom. False God. Was it the wise people that he blinded because they wasn't humble enough to know that they need the Lord Jesus Christ? So how you pro God and anti Jesus? So what God is Islam serving? And you tell me we're serving the same God? How? When your prophet is Muhammad and mine is the Messiah. No, we ain't serving the same God. Jehovah and Allah are not the same being. I don't care. There's only one God. Stop telling me that. You ain't going back me down in the corner talking about Jehovah and Allah is the same being. No, they're not. Jehovah is God and Allah is a demon. Jesus said, no one knows the Father except I reveal him to you. There is no knowledge of God apart from Christ.
But that's what I'm saying. That screaming, that yelling, that animation, it probably looked better on video if you saw it. But at the end of the day, he's measuring his righteousness with something that's easily could be taken down. That's like if I compared my relationship with Yah to other people's relationship with Judaism. It's easy. Even Yahushua has said, the greatest commandment, the first greatest commandment, is to love Yahuwah, Elohaka, with all your mind, heart, and soul, and strength. The first great commandment. So he's kind of muddling. He's mentioning Islam, but he's muddling because everybody else is talking about the Most High. He's not going to mention Israelites. He's not going to mention Hebrews. Because we're not mentioning we serving Jesus Christ. This is, at the end of the day, it's Yahuwah's show. We serve the Father and the Son, but we understand what the Father has done to us. Yahushua was not around at the time of us going into captivity, or when that prophecy came out of the captivity on earth. He may be in heaven at the time, because it's mentioned in Enoch, because Enoch already saw what Yahushua looked like and knew who his elect one was. But for the rest of us, we didn't know. So we worship the Father because this is what he asked us to do. If you read Book of Numbers, it's not Yahushua that wanted ascending offerings or sending smoke offerings, meat offerings, freewill offerings, he offerings, feast days. It wasn't Yahushua's commandment. It was Yahushua's commandment to tell us we should love the Most High, love Yahuwah, his Father. And loving him is doing the things that he wants, doing the things that he likes. That's serving him. And to go back his little whining and crying fit that he had, talking about, oh, I have to pray these outlines into my heart. If you're already telling brothers and sisters that's trying to walk with the Most High that they shouldn't reprimand or reproach those who are observing Christmas, you really think your prayers are being heard by the Most High? I go to scripture because I like to equate it with scripture. So it ain't just me talking. I'm not making these words up. Proverbs 28:9. He that turns away his ear from hearing the Torah, even his prayer shall be an abomination. There is nothing in the Torah that says observe birthdays or pagan feast days or pagan holidays. Yochanan or John 9:31. Now we know that Elohim hears not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of Elohim and does his will, him he hears. Is Pam doing the work of the Most High? Is he doing his will? No. Proverbs 15:29. Yahuwah is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. It's wickedness. Yeah, you could throw, like I said, throw a lipstick on a pig or cologne on a pig or a silk hat on a pig. That's exactly what his ministry is. He'd be like, oh, I don't want to preach. When he dropped that bombshell that, oh, we're going to get shut down because we don't have the money to do this and that, or we're overpopulating this space, so I can't preach. What's that get you to do? It gets you involved with his emotionalism. It gets you like, oh, let's throw money at him then. We have to keep this pastor. We have to stay in sin. He makes us feel good to observe these pagan feast days. Then he has another Christian that came from UK. His name is Tommy something. Let me look it up real quick. It's like some Nigerian name. Tommy Aoyami. Ministry is centered around the art of nation building through the power of the prophetic word. This is from his website. He emphasizes Christian living beyond the walls of the church, fostering a close relationship between spiritual development and engagement with national governments, business, and personal life. It sounds like a LinkedIn for pastors. His whole thing with being prophetic is dibbling-dabbling in whatever government politics or whatever government doctrine that comes out. He jumps in and say, oh, this is going to happen. This is how he sounds.
The Lord really spoke to me on the way in here about several things that he was going to use this president, this administration to do. But some of the things were conditional. Some of the things were sovereign. Some of it was conditional. I know many of us have a sovereignitis when it comes to the prophetic, where we believe everything God said is going to happen, whether we like it or not. But there are several things that are predicated on condition. And I'm one of those people that the Lord used. My wife and I, years maybe 3-4 years ago, flew to Nigeria, left our stuff in England, packed everything up, took our three boys and went to Nigeria. And the Lord gave me a prophetic word concerning the nation that was also conditional.
They love to do that, dude. When they get these prophetic ministries and these prophetic teachings, it's always, I stepped right into this room and the Lord told me before I got here. It's always one of those speeches. Oh, you know, when I was on my way, the Lord spoke to me. Yeah, you can't find nothing in Scripture or in the Bible that says the Most High talked to anybody that's within a religion if it wasn't against his will. Like, for instance, when Balaam was going to curse, but Balaam wasn't really in a religion. He was just a prophet of Baal, and he was sent to curse the Israelites. And Yah said, don't curse these people because these people were blessed. Matter of fact, this is what I'm going to tell you to do. And Balaam had to listen to what the Most High had to say. But when it comes to the modern day, oh, the Lord told me this. The Lord told me that. The Lord said it's conditional and also sovereign. That makes no sense what he just said. But this is the guy that offered, or this is a guy that raised $250,000 so Pam could keep his church or find a new place for his congregation. And like I said, it's a joke. Religion at this point in time is a joke. 2025, I don't know how people can stay within a religion, especially when you have a dopamine issue, which what I mean by that is when people on apps all day, then they watch sports. Then they work. Their dopamine levels are all over the place. So you go into church needing a dopamine fix because you feel guilty with all the stuff that you consume during the week. So if church isn't like the apps and environments that you are placed in to feed your dopamine, you don't want to go to church, or you don't want to be in church, or it's boring to be in that church. So that's why all these churches are set up to feed your dopamine. It's a dopamine fix. People think it's the Ruach HaKodesh, but it's dopamine. You think you're going in there filling up the word, but no, it's you feeding your dopamine fix. You have to have a lot of screaming, yelling, entertainment, singing, dancing, falling out. You have to do those things now to convince yourself you're getting the word, because your whole daily life is consumed by apps, sports, foolishness. It's consumed by that. So you have to make your spiritual life louder than your worldly life. So you need charismatic preachers that'll pull that out of you. So you can say, you can leave church and say, you know what? I learned something here today. I felt the word. I felt the Holy Spirit. And they just lying to themselves. And that's why they give you these weak pastors. People actually believe the prophetic ministries of this guy. The Most High ain't telling everybody his secrets, and let alone he ain't telling no Christian his secrets. These people worship Christmas, Halloween, some of them do, Halloween, Easter, all this, and don't even know the Most High's name. His children are now coming upon his real name and his son's real name, but these people getting prophetic ministries by still calling him God, Lord, and Jesus. How? We can't be serving the same master. We can't be serving the same Adonai or Elohim. Some of us over here breaking our necks to do feast days, offerings, the calendar. But these people ain't even worried about that, and they're getting more communication with the Most High than most of us are. And people believe that. Revelation 22, and we'll see in these verses who actually is connected to the Most High and how you can be connected to the Most High to get any type of vision or prophetic ministry. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. Think about that. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. I am the beginning and the end. They are left in the top, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. Blessed are they that do his commandments. Whose commandments? Yah's commandments. The reason why some of these weak pastors talk about Jesus Christ so much, because they're already promoting Jesus Christ as a do what thou wilt doctrine. That you can continue living in sin. You continue doing what do whatever you want. But because you're a good person and you mess up sometimes, it's okay. That you're always saved. You always have salvation. That once saved is always saved. How? If you're not doing any commandments and you transgressing the Torah, how are you saved through that? Even when scriptures say, even the righteous are scarcely saved. I'm going to say this again. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. How can laws, statutes, commandments be done away with when Yahushua was crucified if we talk about it in Revelation as the key component to the tree of life? Then it says, for without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loves and makes a lie. That sounds like most of these pastors. They may not know it, which is why the scripture of weeping and gnashing of teeth and being thrust out the kingdom is talking about most of these pastors. He says, for without are dogs. Who did Yahusha liken to a dog? A Canaanite woman and a Syro-Phoenician woman by nation. But he only talked to these two women and said, it is not meet to cast the food meant for the children to the dogs. And both of these women said, but the dogs eat the crumbs off the table that fall from the table. What are dogs? Days are considered dogs in scripture. But if you look at these two nations of the women being from these particular nations, Syro-Phoenician and Canaanite, what comes with that? Spilling of righteous, or spilling of children's blood, idols, religious doctrines, all that. That's where these mystery schools and most of these traditions spawn from. They've just been gentrified over for it to be accepted amongst different denominations. And what was Yasharel constantly being referred to when they stepped out, when they went after other nations' religions and gods and idols? What were they being referenced to? A whore. What is a female dog? I rest my case about Pam. And I'll end it with this. Luke 1 through 6. And he spoke a parable unto them to this end, that men ought to always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not Elohim, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city. And she came unto him, saying, avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward, he said within himself, though I fear not Elohim, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And Ananias said, hear what the unjust judge says. And shall not Elohim avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Adam comes, shall he find faith on the earth? This is speaking end times. Because it also is mentioned, I think, in Ezra Baruch. He says, when they abandon hope, this is basically abandoning their faith for the beast. That is when time will arise. That is when Yahuwah will show up. So you think of all these Christian pastors with all this charisma, leading souls astray and leading them into the pit. The Most High has said or likened to someone who does not regard any man or respecter of persons. It even says that a couple of times in Deuteronomy, that when it comes to judgment, even us, followers of the Torah, even us, it says we should not ever respect a person or take bribes or take money or gifts when we are putting somebody in the seat of judgment. And we're not even judging. We're just reproving and reproaching. None of us have been raised up as judges to judge anybody. But we can definitely bring a matter to a person. And if that person do not hear the sound of the shofar, if that person don't heed the warning, that blood is no more on our hands. But for these pastors, they weren't about money, their building, their platform. And they weren't about the wrong things and confusing minds of people who really truly want to follow the Most High, but just don't know how, don't know the direction, because all they see is their dopamine fix. Oh, I got to go to this person's page. Or I got to go to this TikTok page. Because this is where all, oh, I need to see this charismatic. I can just put a nice little beat to what he says, and I'm in love. But you're not absorbing nothing. You're not absorbing the truth. You're not knowing what to do to keep you or keep yourself alive. You're not marching in the direction of the tree of life. You may think you are, but you're not. Because through your own insecurity and through your own weakness, your faith basically is summed up to a dopamine fix. It reminds me of that scene in Demolition Man when the guy, before Wesley Snipes ripped him away from the kiosk, he was standing in front of him and he needed like a pep talk. It says like, you look great today. That's basically what preaching is now on the major platforms or the people you see. It's a clown show. You should look up the Pastor William Murphy when he got inducted into Omega Psi Phi. It was the most cringe-worthy mess I ever seen. And the funny thing is, he changed his whole entire look. If you look him up back in the day, he looked like a nerd. He was like a geek pastor. Then all of a sudden, he transformed into this, like, I don't even know, like this boule sex symbol with all this charisma, because that's part of the religion now. Now it's part of a show. And I think in their minds, they truly believe that they're actually following the Lost Testament. They really think that the scriptures or the New Testament is really allowing what they're doing. It's either that or they're purposely being taught. I don't know which one is worse. Them being purposely taught to teach people a certain way over top of the truth, or just being blind to it and just preaching to whatever is going to keep money flowing in those collection baskets. But it's all said and done. People act like, oh, I can just change and do something else without the sense of urgency to it. That's what it, if I had to boil down what I would want you to hear, is the sense of urgency. Now, mind you, I can't rush anybody's process, and the Most High is not going to rush the process either, because it's on his time. I don't think people understand that it's on his time. It's not on the Gregorian time. It's not on a Gregorian calendar. Once things start happening, then you start understanding. Once you come away from the Gregorian, you'll start understanding how the Most High starts working. And then you see it like, oh, okay, he's coming from this angle because this is the time and the season of his land. And the people who are going to be confused, as it said in scripture, as a prophecy, when a stupor hits them, they are going to be confused because everything's going to be thrown off that Gregorian calendar. They're making it too easy for you to differentiate between Yah and this world, because they do everything by numerology. I know you hate to hear me keep saying it, but it's true. Like the JFK assassination, it happened on 1122, that's 33. They did it in the middle of a Masonic square with it, I think it was 33 attached to that. It wasn't like it was by, you know, just by chance they wanted to do it. They planned to do it on this date. If you start seeing it for what it is, you'd be like, it ain't showing up yet. When you see them burning stuff up or blowing stuff up, y'all be like, oh, it's y'all coming back. And then you get upset because we're not leaving. The second exit isn't happening yet. We haven't been able to see the Antichrist. I'm almost want to put money on it that the Antichrist is going to come through some type of weird numerology too. Like it says in scripture, you calculate the number of the man. That those who have wisdom calculate. Why would John need, or Yohanan need to say calculate? Why didn't he say the number is 666? He said calculate the number of the man, and the man's number is 666. You don't know how the calculation could add up to 666 if you don't know what this system is. Even if you don't want to learn numerology, you're going to be forced to learn it. I'm sorry, but you're going to be forced to learn it, because that is the trajectory on how you leave this system. It always starts with noticing numbers all around you. Some of y'all notice 777 or 444, 333. That is the beginning of it. But some people just stay there and just rest on, oh, I just know I see 23 all the time, or I see 444 all the time. And they stay with that. And then they get into, oh, angel numbers. Trust me, I've been there. I was the one that was like, oh, I seen 888. So what's the angel number for that? I started looking it up. Then I was like, there is no angel numbers in the Bible. So why am I even paying attention to this? Then somebody hit me onto Gematria. Then I went through all, you know, that whole thing with Gematria. Then I'm like, all right, now I see what they're doing. But the demons in these unclean walks, they get you to stay at a level so you don't rise above that understanding. Some people just stay at angel numbers and be like, oh, and then create an entire new age spirituality out of it. I still see people, bless their souls, they just don't want to turn over to the Most High. They stay posting, you know, charts and symbolism and zodiacs, and they just add numerology into it. I seen posts like, oh, 333, today is going to be like this. I'm like, if you just keep moving up, you'll see what this world really is. You'll be able to exit it. So the ceiling of this system is numbers. So when people start being confused about what's going on, it ain't going to be confusing to y'all because y'all going to understand it already. All you got to do is start looking at dates. Then you look at the places. Like, for instance, the school shooting in Tennessee at Antioch High School, which is a very biblical name. It means to go against or rebel. That's what the name means when I looked it up. And this kid, 17 years old, and his idols is Hitler and Candace Owens. That is so all you need to hear and know it is the synagogue of Satan is anytime they bring up Hitler, they will not let that man's rest. They think that we're supposed to be scared of Hitler. Like as if it ain't no terrorizing other Europeans that we have a valid excuse to be afraid of. But they keep bringing this man's name up. And especially when you watch the documentary, Everything is a Rich Man's Trick, you'll see how America, oil tycoons, industrialists, robber barons, as they call them back in the day, they financed Hitler. That means Hitler wouldn't have been nothing without American government's money. Why do you think Prescott Bush got in trouble for laundering Nazi gold in the bank in New York? If you watch that documentary, you will start. You'd be like, "Man, Hitler was a nobody. He was no one special, not anyone special, not anyone really to be afraid of." When you find out that a lot of countries around him were helping him out, that they never saw a day in those Nuremberg trials, it's a joke. So you know when anytime they mention Hitler, it's the synagogue of Satan, it's Ashkenazi's children or Yafet's children trying to stir up something for them. Because they need sympathy. They need to play the victim card. That's all they got left is Hitler. They don't have nothing else. They don't even try to convince you that they're the children of the scriptures. They don't even go into it no more. They don't even say, hey, we are God's chosen children and this is why we're doing it. They don't even say that no more. They just literally, oh, it's Hitler. Hitler this, Hitler that. And they want you to believe some 17-year-old black kid was a fan of Candace Owens. I can't even believe any black kid 17 years old would be a fan of Candace Owens. I mean, you really have to be a different type of understanding and knowledge and comprehension to even understand what she says sometimes. Because she doesn't talk like a dummy. And basically, this whole generation of children are low-key a little slow. And then the fact that he unalived someone don't fit the criteria of somebody who likes Candace Owens and Hitler at the same time. Unless the person that he unalived was Jewish. It didn't make sense. But then again, it ain't supposed to make sense. It's just supposed to feed your dopamine. It's supposed to put you in a state of unconsciousness or a state of a stupor. To believe that this world's going to hell in a handbasket, which it is, but it ain't gonna be by the hands you think it is. It's gonna be done by another man's hands, coming with his angels. As it's mentioned in Revelation 22:16, I, Yahusha, have sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the called out assemblies. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright star rising in the morning. And when he comes back, he's coming with 144,000 angels and 144,000 that were redeemed from this earth, I should say. that's what's going to send this world to hell in a handbasket. And it's going to be remade over, new Jerusalem, new earth. And then you can anoint yourself with the tree of life so you can serve. It still says that you have to serve in heaven. So if you can't serve here, what makes you think you're going to all of a sudden serve in heaven? You think you're just going to, it's just going to click in? Once you get your wings, once you get, you know, your pass into heaven, you're just like, all right, now I can serve. If you can't prove that you can serve here, what makes you think you're going to be in paradise being able to serve? The commandments, the statutes, the Torah, that is the ticket. That's the golden ticket to get to the tree of life. Where the Most High said there will be no more curse, just the throne of him and his son serving him. Most people can't even get past the curse. And it's not even that they're putting the curse on you. No one's handcuffing you to a Christmas tree and say, oh, do this. No one's handcuffing you to Santa Claus in the mall and say, you got to do this. No one's doing that. People are rightfully wanting or willfully doing it. So when the beast shows up, he only got to scare them a little bit. Just a little bit. And they'd be like, okay, I'll do it. I'm already at Santa Claus, the Easter Bunny, and Halloween. What's one more beast? What's one more? So again, I thank y'all for your prayers, your love, your comments. I truly appreciate it. I see you week after next.